Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. The Brooklyn band Savoir Adore were last seen around these parts in 2013 when they released their album Our Nature. Then, nothing. Until February of this year when we premiered a new song from the band. That was the first hint that we had that a new record was coming. Eventually. Finally, half a year later, Savoir Adore returns with The Love That Remains, an album that often takes the band's old fantasy pop style and expands it to arena size. But the band can also strip those big songs down to a more intimate scale, and that's what they're doing here today. Singer-songwriters Paul Hammer and Lauren Zettler are the core duo of Savoir Adore, and they are here to play their song Lover's Wake live on Soundcheck.
We were bright and shining like a child's dream. You were everything to me. With you.
That's lovely. That's called Lover's Wake from Savoir Adore. Unplugged and acoustic here in the Soundcheck studio. Add bass and drums and electric keyboards and backing tracks and all kinds of other effects, and you'll get the something close to the version that's on the record called The Love That Remains. But at the core of Savoir Adore are Paul Hammer on guitar and vocals and Lauren Zettler on piano and guitar and vocals. And welcome to Soundcheck.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Paul, it's been a while since you were last here and lots of things have changed. First of all, did you write this song or at least did you title this song?
Yes, I wrote this song.
Yeah. It's a great title.
Oh, thank you.
Because, you know, I was going to say it's like a two-way title. It's not a two, it's a three-way title.
Yeah.
I mean, it could be
depending
like,
on punctuation.
Yeah,
and,
like
yeah.
Lovers, wake, yeah. You know, or it could be like a wake for lovers whose lovers die.
Yes, I'm glad
neither
you,
of,
yeah.
Neither of which is, I mean, it's actually the idea of a wake of a boat. As
yeah,
I mean, that's
it's the sort of what's left over, yeah.
Yeah.
The sort of shockwaves.
And that kind of gets to the title of the record, you know, The Love That Remains. On the website, on the Savoir Adore website, you talk about it making a trip to Brazil and coming across this word saudade, which everybody in Brazil knows.
Yeah.
But which it's almost impossible to translate into English.
Yeah. It's one of those sort of interesting foreign phrases where, yeah, there's no direct translation. And I mean, the funny thing, I heard it, I learned it through a girl I met in Brazil who's actually now my wife.
Uh-huh.
three years later almost now and we're married.
Okay. So there wasn't a whole lot of saudade there because saudade just tends to be kind of melancholy.
Exactly.
And
well, there was a good year and a half of a very, you know, beautiful but hard long distance relationship, which is what I think, you know, being in that feeling for a long time, it sort of continued to cement the, you know, really, I was in that mindset, so it was a perfect thing to kind of focus on while working on the record.
So for you, that phrase, the love that remains, is kind of a loose translation of this feeling of saudade.
Yeah, I read this sort of definition of it because I was like, what exactly is it? And then at the end of the definition, it said, or, it was one of those things, comma, or the love that remains. And I was like, that's a nice phrase. You know, it's like the simplest, essentially the simplest form of it, but it's cool because it can almost be this supernatural feeling of this like physical entity between people when you separate. But then it's also very literally just, you know, this love that sort of remains, you know, feeling of it.
In the wake of whatever came before.
Exactly.
All right. Okay. So it all ties together. Now, the last time the band was here, the core duo was you and Deirdre, who left in 2014.
Yeah.
Lauren, how did you come to be, you know, a part of this?
I think it was pretty much just because we've been running in the same circles of musicians in Brooklyn for a few years. And Paul and I have been friends, but we had never really collaborated. And then I was kind of in between projects. I had my own solo project and I played with another band for a bit. And the timing just worked.
Mm-hmm.
It just worked out. So I went upstate and we wrote some songs together. And we just kind of felt like the partnership felt really easy. And then we just kept writing, and then it turned into where we are now.
Yeah.
So when you change partners, to quote a great old standard, when you change partners, the dance becomes a little different.
Right.
Very often.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So has the songwriting process changed with Lauren's arrival on the scene?
It's interesting because in many ways, like the project Savoir was always about sort of experimentation. So I think that almost made it not easier necessarily, but it made it possible for that transition to happen and sort of stay open and positive where, you know, as soon as we started writing together, I think there were natural tendencies and natural sort of processes that worked differently and worked better than when I was writing with Deirdre. But even with our, you know, even with my relationship and writing sort of process with Deirdre, that continuously changed. So it almost, in a weird way, it just reminded me that I had to stay on my toes, you know, and like, similar way where we would, you know, sometimes I would start a song, sometimes Lauren would start a song, sometimes we'd start with a drum beat, sometimes we'd start with lyrics.
Yeah.
So it kind of evolved, and it was almost along, you know, it was also as we were getting to know each other better and get comfortable as friends as well, because that's such an interesting part of writing with people is that every time you write, you also become a little bit closer as people. And so it changes the process as well, because you learn to, like, trust each other more, which is a huge part of it, because you're really, you know, you're vulnerable and you're giving something away in a way.
But before you even get to that point, you, Paul, had to decide, well, do I push ahead as Paul Hammer,
right,
you know, or do I keep this Savoir Adore thing right going?
Yeah. And it wasn't easy, and it wasn't quick.
Yeah.
It took a good 6 months of sort of figuring out, okay, well, what does this mean now? And where, you know, what do I want the band to sound like? And what exactly is it going to become? And I think it wasn't until, luckily I had, you know, some good advice from friends and from the other guys in the band. And it was sort of just like, write music and then see what happens. And if the music still fits, and if your heart is still with the meaning of Savoir Adore and where it's going. And honestly, it was just when I started writing songs and really just started thinking about the idea of the love that remains, I was like, well, this is a beautiful opportunity where I can not only keep doing this, but I can also write it from a standpoint that's sort of both autobiographical, but then still true to the sort of project itself.
So it just made sense. It felt like Savoir material to me.
Yeah, it just felt right.
Yeah. And what is the meaning of Savoir Adore?
It means to know love or to know how to love.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be savoir amour?
Well,
it's not correct.
It's not correct French, which we've been called out on a few times.
And I'm just like, I can't do anything about that. Yeah. I joined after the name was chosen.
So. So you've maintained plausible deniability. Earlier records by the band, and I think, Paul, we probably talked about this last time you were here. Titles were full of woodland imagery and stuff like that. Now we've got savages and giants and stuff like that. You know, has Lauren brought a little edge to the proceedings?
You know, it's really funny that you said she has, and it's something that people actually say all the time. Well, we actually, it was funny, we did an interview down in Mexico where I was dressed in super colorful, like a rainbow colors, and Lauren was all in black, and this, he was like, so she brings the edge, right? And I was like, kind of, yeah. But it's also, the song title thing was very much connected to, I think, the music and the sort of narrative itself became a little bit more, not serious necessarily, but just a little bit more, I guess, grounded and more in like a realistic world.
Less fantastical.
You know? Less fantastical. Mm-hmm. Which kind of made sense with where the last album left off. You know, it was kind of a transition where Our Nature, I wanted it to be about the woods. I wanted it to be about that fantasy world that we had created. But I also wanted it to transition into, you know, our sort of nature as humans. So for me, it was sort of a natural progression to then get even more human in a way.
Which brings us to Savages.
Yes, probably the most human song on this record.
Yeah. So was this a result of the collaborative writing process?
Yes, it was.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I think this was the second song we wrote together.
Yeah.
And for this one, Lauren, you're going to switch to guitar, right?
Yes.
All right. Well, you want to play it for us?
Let's do it.
Yeah. All right. We're speaking with the members of Savoir Adore, the core members Paul Hammer and Lauren Zettler. Both arming themselves with guitars. Their CD is called The Love That Remains. It is out on Friday, August 12th. And the full band, is celebrating that night with a concert at Bowery Ballroom here in New York. Right now they're playing for us here in the Soundcheck studio. This song is called Savages.
I want you. I want you so badly. I need you. I need your air to me more. does it feel unkind? I'm not crazy, I'm just out of my mind. Late at night, we are broken in the darkness of the woods unspoken. There's a scream inside somewhere. Oh, I can't get enough. Give me more of your love. Ooh. 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 Ooh.
That is Savoir Adore, acoustic and unplugged here in the Soundcheck studio. Paul Hammer and Lauren Zettler both singing and playing acoustic guitars, and that song is called Savages. Now, wait a minute, Paul, isn't what we just heard the exact thing this band was formed to avoid?
Yeah, it's funny. I was thinking to myself earlier. I was like wondering. I was wondering if John would pick up. Yeah, it's the original rule with forming this band. It was this. Yeah, trying to get away from the singer songwriter thing
with the acoustic.
With the acoustic
guitar, the guy with
yeah.
guitar and the girl with guitar.
And yeah. I was thinking about it again today, carrying my acoustic guitar on the subway, and I was like, wait a second. But it's funny in a strange way. It also fits in with sort of the idea of the record again, where it's. I like taking the direction of the band now in a more human, and it's almost like confronting the original fears, which were this, you know, the singer-songwriter sort of shell. But I think what's fun is that now the anxiety is gone, so we can play through both.
Well, the funny thing is, though, you know, you listen to Savages on the disc, and it's not a very acoustic sound. I mean, it's big, you know, electric, you know, it's got the big sound to it.
Yeah, it's drenched with arpeggiating electronics and stuff like that. But it's been an interesting – that's actually one of the other transitions I feel like working with Lauren and playing a lot of shows together is that we've also written more, I think, from not a traditional songwriting standpoint in any way, but we've certainly – a lot of these songs feel a little bit better, I think, just with one or two instruments as well, which is exciting.
And is that how the songwriting starts? Is basically the two of you in a room with guitars or a piano or something?
It really depends, because Paul's so good at the production side of things that oftentimes, like, we will be sitting in front of a computer with synths and all of that. But for me, my songwriting started in that traditional sense, and I still have that belief that a good song is a song that you can strip everything away from and still have and have it exist on its own. So I think that's why, I mean, yeah, that's my goal, is to always be able to play it that way if we want to, because to me that's really real.
When the song has been stripped of all the gaudy, you know, layers of electronics and stuff, and you're just left with words and chords and stuff, how does it sound?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, that sounded great.
Thanks.
The two of you. Now, Lauren, you've done a fair amount of music for commercials and commercial use and things like that, right?
I have. You know, yeah, I've done a couple of things. And I've kind of been trying to find my way into the, like, how to make money in this industry kind of scenario. But I would say that working with Paul has definitely also helped me in that field
as
well.
Well, I was going to ask, my question was, you know, how different, if at all, is it to write a song for a perfume ad as opposed to writing it for a record?
It's very different. Well, I guess it depends on how you look at it, but you're given parameters, usually, by these clients that are asking you to do specific things. And they're always kind of weird parameters because they're people who aren't musicians themselves. So you have to try and translate exactly what they're looking for, and you have to give them what they want you to give them without them actually being able to really tell you what it is.
Right,
so there's some intuition there as well.
It's interesting. We sort of bonded over that in a way, too, because that was my first entrance into the music world, too. Out of college was straight to a jingle house.
Mm-hmm.
And which, interestingly enough, I feel like is a big sort of stepping stone for a lot of producers, songwriters now.
A lot of people. Well, that's
it's
classic.
Crazy.
I mean,
yeah.
Since the 60s
well, true.
And 70s,
yeah.
That's been,
yeah.
You know.
But I always find it interesting when, you know, like Foster the People, you know, he was working at a jingle house when he wrote Pumped Up Kicks,
yeah.
And then the guys from Capital Cities and John from St. Lucia. It's like everyone has done this sort of, it's an interesting sort of thing that I think, especially because of how much things are produced these days. So we've done a handful of those things together too. And it's interesting jumping back and forth because that I'd never done before, like working, collaborating on commercials.
Mm-hmm.
So to jump from, you know, one day doing a session and writing Savages and the next day doing a perfume ad. It's funny though, because at the end of the day, we're using the same instruments, our same minds, our same, you know, ideas, but it's, yeah, there's like a brief and there's it's just a different perspective.
Yeah.
Well, but so we're talking about like bespoke music, you know, specifically written for commercial, mm-hmm. whereas, you know, there have been Savoir Adore songs that have been taken from records and used in TV commercials or video games or what have you. That's a different thing, you know. With this... Paul, you're sort of treading on your dad's territory, you know? Jan Hammer, who did famously the Miami Vice theme music and all of the episode music and stuff.
It's a self-fulfilling prophecy. He told me not to get into music. He's like, it's too difficult to be a doctor. And then look at me now.
Your dad is on one of my favorite pieces of music. Do you know the John Abercrombie album, Timeless?
Yeah.
The title track, Timeless?
It's beautiful.
Oh, my God. It's beautiful, and it's like, that's your dad there keeping that atmosphere going. Do you know this record, Lauren?
I don't.
Oh, my God.
Embarrassingly,
I'll go check
it out immediately.
You have to go right home when we are done here and listen to Timeless by John Abercrombie with Paul's dad on keyboard. Anyway, so Savoir Adore. So you've figured out how to kind of create this big sound. You've also figured out, obviously, how to strip it down. What happens when the band is playing live? You got to kind of split the difference, don't you?
And it's, I think, especially having a new record and having these sort of, you know, this two-year almost process of thinking about things. It was really interesting. We just rehearsed really through all the new material in the last 2 weeks, and it was interesting because there were certain, you know, that's when you have to make big decisions. Like, okay, well, does it need to sound exactly like the record? Do we want it obviously to sound like something a little bit more spontaneous and energetic? So that balance, I think, is very interesting, especially in electro pop, whatever you want to call it. It's like how much of the elements of the record do you want to use? And then how much of it do you want to remove so that it feels more... you know, new.
In a way, you almost have to decide what kind of a live band you want to be.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I remember when Jamie T, the English singer-songwriter, when his first album came out, and, you know, there like one song would be kind of Billy Bragg-style rock, then there'd be a rap song and something with a reggae beat.
Interesting.
And he had, you know, obviously he couldn't bring three different setups with him.
Mm-hmm.
They just came and they just... basically were like a punk band. They just
swept through, that's cool. Yeah.
Swept through every song on the record.
Yeah.
That was the choice. They were a rock, a kind of a post-punk rock band.
It's cool.
Yeah. So Savoir Adore, what kind of band we got here?
Ooh. I think we're a rock band with synths.
All right.
Yeah.
I think at the end of the day, that's what we're hoping for.
Yeah.
Well, for this next song, Giants, Lauren, you will go back to the old analog synthesizer that we call the piano.
Yes, exactly.
All right. Let's let's hear another live performance from the members of Savoir Adore. Paul Hammer on guitar, Lauren Zettler taking her place at our old Steinway piano, and the two of them singing this song called Giants, which is from the new album out on August 12th on Friday. It's called The Love That Remains, and that Friday night, the band, the full band, is playing live at Bowery Ballroom. But let's hear another stripped-down acoustic performance here on Soundcheck.
If you build your house out of bones, you'll never be alone. You see your body exposed, it's just a vessel for your soul. And throw your heart in the river if you can't let it go, 'cause your soul grows bigger than your body ever knows. Stumble, repeat, stumble, repeat. Get off your feet, get off your feet. If the feeling don't fade, you'll just have to stick with it. Got a soul so big, we were giants at the start of it. Just a little bit. No, we're never gonna quit, 'cause we are giants, giants, giants at the heart of it. This whole world is blind, eyes so deep and difficult. If we took the time, we'd see the ease in being kind. Throw it all in the river and let it all go. Suffer to let yourself grow. Watch it burn into cinders. Can you read the smoke? Stumble, repeat, stumble, repeat. Get off your feet, get off your feet. If the feeling don't fade, you just have to stick with it. God is so, so big. We were giants at the start. Just a little bit. No, we're never gonna quit, 'cause we are giants, giants, giants.
Savoir Adore. Paul Hammer on guitar, Lauren Zettler at our piano, both of them singing that song called Giants. It is the single from the new long-awaited Savoir Adore record, The Love That Remains, out on Friday, August 12th. Live performance by the full band that night at the Bowery Ballroom. They've been playing here for us on Soundcheck today. And so what happens now? I mean, it's been a multi-year journey to this point. And it sounds like this collaboration has spawned other than Savoir moments already.
A lot of stuff. I think now we get to play. Now we get to play and hopefully travel a lot.
Have fun.
Yeah.
Well done. Thank you both for coming in and playing for us today.
Thank you so much for having us.
This is Soundcheck.